Amen. Good morning, Three Trees Church, Columbia. Let's give Jesus a big praise today. So good to be with you. I love your church. I love your pastors. They're great friends to my wife, Summer, and I. And I'm so thankful for them. And I believe that the best is yet to come for this church. How about you? How many believe that today? And so, you know, if a guy from Bloomington, Indiana is great friends with a guy from Kentucky, that God has done a thing, because I live where the Hoosiers are. Thank you. I love you anyway. And I'm so glad to be here today. And won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
And so I want to preach a message entitled Planted. Everyone say planted, please. And I think it's important we think about our lives individually and as this church is moving forward, that we think about consciously being planted with Jesus every day. And I want to explain what that is. And then I want to expound on what it means to be planted and what happens in our life when we do that in Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 92, verses 12 through 14. As you're turning there, my wife, Summer, is at home holding down the fort. And this is a true story. She prayed this prayer. She said, "Lord, if I marry a white man, he's got to be bald." True story. This is my family right here, and I'm so glad I married up with her. She's a beautiful woman, and she actually prayed that prayer. That was actually an insecurity for me, and I gave it to God, and I married the woman of my dreams. Come on, somebody. Whatever it takes, amen. I'll be bald 7 lifetimes if I can have her as my wife. All right, Psalms 92, verse 12. The Bible says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God, and even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green." And someone say amen to that. Planted. Yeah, I think it's important that you and I think about our lives being planted in Jesus every day. What does that mean to be planted? I want to define that, then I want to move into the message. Be planted in Jesus means that my life, my values, my beliefs, my attitudes, my decisions, my actions, all of it is based around Jesus and what he says for me to do. And of course, we find that in the Bible. So I'm basing my life on Jesus and his word. I'm tempted at times to do other things, to respond different ways, to go different directions. But through it all, I come back to the point, I'm planted in Christ daily. Another way of saying it is, God is the center of my life, and I'm revolving around him. When we drift away from being planted in Jesus, that begins to shift, and we make ourselves the center and want God to revolve around us. And that's not right. That's backwards. So this is a daily decision. It's not just a one-time thing. You and I have to make the decision, I'm planted in Christ above all else. And when that happens, these scriptures tell us what happens in our life, traits that we take on, and how our lives will look. And that's what I want to expound on today. Now, it's amazing that the Bible in the Old Testament, in several locations and some in the New, talk about trees being connected to you and I as people who follow God. It's a symbolism. And this is amazing because trees are really a phenomenal part of creation. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1:20 that because of creation, no human being is without excuse that God exists, because creation reflects the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is actually revealed in creation. And so God has given us amazing things to look at and to, be a blessing and receive a blessing from it. One of those is trees. Now, trees are amazing in that God created trees with this process of photosynthesis. Come on, I'm sounding like a scientist right now. Come on, somebody. I got straight A's in recess in gym in school. It was amazing. How many got straight A's in those classes in those times? Everyone with me? Not too many, because I guess I'm talking to smart people in here today. But photosynthesis is the process that God created trees. That trees take in the poison of carbon dioxide. They absorb it. They turn that poison into sugar. It feeds the tree. Then the tree releases oxygen through its leaves, and you and I are able to live on this planet because God created trees to to give us oxygen. Isn't God amazing? God is a genius. Come on, give God praise for that. That's amazing. God did that. And so really trees, we burn wood, we cut trees, we look at trees, but really when we're driving or we're walking along and we see trees, it's really phenomenal because they're producing the oxygen that we need to survive. And God gave them that ability. But then God compares trees to you and I who are planted in Jesus. This is important. Before I break down the palm tree and the cedar, notice that trees are stable. Just stay with me for a minute, because this is important. Trees are not movable most of the time. If they rot, they can break. But most of the time, they endure storms. They're stable. They endure time. They can live decades. And this is what God wants for you and I, that you and I, in Christ, planted in Jesus, take on the nature spiritually of a tree, that we're not fickle anymore. We're not temperamental people anymore. In fact, the Bible says that certain people are they're tossed to and fro like a leaf in the wind. I'm not a leaf. I'm a tree. How about you? I mean, we're not going to be leaves blown around. So a new thing flashes and I blow over here. And something else happens and I blow over here. And a new fat happens and I blow up over here. I'm just kind of blowing around. No, I'm a tree planted in Christ. I'm stable. I'm steadfast. I'm strong in my faith. I'm not perfect. I have good days and bad days, but I'm strong. I'm a tree for God. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that you and I can be immovable in the work of the Lord. Immovable. That we're steady and steadfast in God by being planted in Christ, and we become a tree. How many want to be a tree for God today? I do. I want to be strong. And so I want to ask you right now, what are you planted in? Because you and I can be planted in money. We can plant our lives in the idea of romance. Guys can be chasing girls around their whole life. I had a great uncle that did that, and he died alone. Women can chase guys around and be planted in that. That produces drama and chaos. We can plant ourselves on social media and be, thrilled by a like and devastated by a bad comment or a bad emoji. We can plant ourselves in our career. We can plant ourselves in addiction. We're just planting our lives in addiction. So we can plant our lives in a lot of things. And over time, what we plant our life in will show up, folks, over time. In fact, the devil tempts you and I with immediate satisfaction that produces rotten fruit. God leads us into long-term growth that produces fruit that blesses our life and the generations after our life. Because a healthy tree, it takes time to produce healthy fruit. And God wants you and I to be planted in Jesus. So notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that when I'm planted in Jesus, you and I will flourish like a palm tree. Everyone say palm tree, please. We know that palm trees are isolated into tropical areas and in deserts. What's amazing about a palm tree is a palm tree can produce fruit when nothing else around it in deserts is growing. A palm tree can produce coconuts in extreme heat. And so they have this ability to produce fruit and be vibrant when nothing else around them, like in a desert, is. Palm trees also, now all trees have this that are healthy. All trees have a bend in the wood, as they call it. So when storms come, they can bend and not break. But palm trees are unique. Palm trees are specific to tropical areas, and they can withstand hurricane winds. And so really, they can bend and not break and get through those storms. And God compares you and I, when I'm planted in Jesus, over time, the traits of my life will take on like a tree spiritually. I'm going to be a palm tree. So in other words, I'm going to be able to produce fruit in my life when I'm in a bad season or a tough moment, or even, if you will, like a desert place. God will sustain me, and I can produce fruit in tough times. Furthermore, when the storms of life come at my life, I don't have to break. I can bend, and I will bend. How many notice that when you face a storm, you feel it? You feel the pain. You cry. You feel the emotions. You feel all this stuff. And you and I will bend, but in Christ, we will not break. We will bend and stand back up. We will get our balance. I'm planted in Christ. I'm going to get through the storm. I'm going to get on the other side. God has formed me. who can be against me? Come on now. And I can get through this because of God. Not because of me, but because of God in me. And now I'm taking on the nature of a palm tree. Now, furthermore, what's amazing is let's go back to photosynthesis. That you and I, like a natural tree, absorbs poison and turns it into fuel and then oxygen. You and I believe this is only possible in Jesus fully, that you and I in Christ can absorb the poison of our life, or that things that come at us, hardships, attacks, things that are wrong or corrupt or evil, the things that come at us, you and I can absorb it. And instead of that poison poisoning us, God can take it and turn it around for fuel to my faith. And from my life, I have a life-giving faith that what was meant to kill me, God uses to restore me. That what was meant to take me out, God uses as a platform to proclaim his message. That God uses my life. And this is powerful, folks, that you and I can look at a tree, we don't think about it, but we're breathing in the air that it's producing, and you and I spiritually can go through hard places, and we don't have to get bitter, we can get better. That the pain of our life actually produces the purpose of our life. That our messes reveal his miracles and reveal his mercy. Come on, right? That humility in God gives me honor from God. That my weaknesses are actually strengths in God. So this can only happen in Christ. Now I'm not talking about willpower. I'm not talking about, you know, acumen and ingenuity. Thank God for all of it. I'm talking about God can do something for you and I that we can't do for ourselves. And all of us have faced poison. You may be facing it right now. Things that come at us. Things that try to hurt us. Things that try to make us a victim. Things that try to take us out. And all those things are severe, some more than others. But here's the thing. In Christ, I'm planted in Jesus. I'm not going to have a perfect life. Storms are going to come, but I'm going to get through the storm. And any poison that comes at me, I'm going to be like a palm tree. I'm going to bend and not break. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to be strong. And from my life will produce a praise and a worship, come on, and a faith that touches me and other people around me. But the truth is, I don't have time to get into my story, but the truth is I was a victim in my life for a season of my life of sexual abuse when I was a kid by someone 4 years older than me. And God, I could have stayed a victim, but God turned it around and made me a victor in Christ, and he healed my life. You and I in this room all of us have choices, and all of us at times maybe are a victim in a moment of time, legitimately. But it's our decision, will I stay that way and then let the poison seep in me and live with unforgiveness and anger and strife and negativity and bitterness and hate and revenge? A lot of people do that. Or will I be planted in Christ and become like a palm tree and let God turn it around for my good? And now the things that meant to take me out are now coming through me as a message of redemption. The very thing that tried to hurt me is the fuel to my faith. And now I have a life-giving faith, oxygen, if you will, that's coming from me and touching others. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be a victim. I was, but I'm not now. I'm going to be a tree planted by the rivers of water that's going forward in Christ and moving and being who God has called me to be. How about you today? If you believe that, come on, give God praise. Palm tree. What poison has come at you? What poison has come? I can list so many things, it's not even funny. All of us can list things. It's a part of being a human. And God is the one that can turn us around and make us a palm tree and be powerful and be different and turn it for a few. Let me tell you a story about this. My youngest son, Zayden, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I picked him up from the bus stop, and he got in the car, sat in the car, and burst into tears. Just burst, big tears. And I said, son, what's going on? He said, today at school, someone called me the N-word and called me a monkey. And his heart broke. Seeing my son, I grew up with people from all over the world. When I was around people that I heard that, said to them, it's devastating. First off, that's evil and totally false and not the spirit of Christ. And so I put on my good dad hat, and I found that kid and beat him up. No, I'm just kidding. I paid a neighbor kid, and that neighbor kid beat him. That's how we did it. That kid took care of him. Just whipped his behind in the name of Jesus. No, we got home, and he's upset. I'm upset. And then my son begins, this touches my heart today. He said, Dad, I want to forgive him. And I said, wait a minute, because anger feels good, doesn't it? Anger does something to our endorphins. We thrive on anger sometimes. I wanted to live in that for a few days. Have you been there before? And he said, no, I want to forgive him. And so I led him in a prayer. We called the kid's name out. He forgave him. But a couple months later, Zayden said, he said, Dad, this kid, his attitude towards me is changing. And he said, I'm going to invite him to youth group. I said, go ahead, do it. We picked him up, and it was devastating to see the conditions he lives in still. He's learned this racism from his home, and it took my breath away to see what he's actually living, through physically. And so we brought him, and our youth pastor is 6'6", African-American, dreads all the way down, football player. The man he's taught to hate is now preaching the gospel at a youth group. And when he heard the gospel, he receives Christ and comes to Jesus and is saved. About a month later, he gets water baptized. All right, and then we have what we call revival nights every month where we do water baptisms and extended worship and et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of revival nights, we always have a final song. It's really hype. Over 100 kids run to the front, dance around, act crazy. I try to do it with them, and it's not good. And on this night, the music starts, and everyone's running down. And the first kid at the altar was the kid that 3 months earlier called my son a racial slur. What my son showed me is when you have a kingdom response to a sin issue, it protects you and it dismantles the devil that's trying to put poison in you. You and I can respond a lot of different ways, but we have to have kingdom responses to this junk. And when we do that, the power of God protects us and it changes maybe even the person that was trying to perpetrate poison on us. And I want to encourage you today, my son's reflecting a lesson that when we're planted in Jesus, when poison comes our way, you and I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that poison comes at us, but it does not have to get in us. God turns it around and flips it, and all of a sudden it becomes a praise and a worship to our God. Come on, give God a praise just real quick. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. What poison have you gone through? God can turn it around, make you a palm tree for the house of our God. But he doesn't stop there. Then he says, you and I will flourish like a palm tree. Then he says, we will be strong like a cedar. Everyone say cedar, please. We know cedar trees. We use them today. King Solomon, in one of his amazing palaces back then in the Bible, paneled one of his rooms with cedar. Today, people use cedar sometimes in their closets for their clothing. Cedars are a great piece of wood to use for beams, cedar beams, other things that people use today. Cedars have this reflection of wealth, of strength. They're elegant. They look good. They make homes look better. People use them now. And so cedars, notice what God's doing. He's comparing us now to cedars. Now, cedars were for palaces. Now, I know we don't... In America, we don't understand royalty because we're a democracy. We don't have a monarchy. But in Jesus, do you know that you and I are sons and daughters of the King? I said he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that you and I are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of God. I know we don't look royal, we don't feel royal, we're not driving royal, we're not living royal, but you know what? In Jesus, we are all royalty in the name of the Lord. And you and I have an identity. I don't care if you are caught up in yourself and you lift yourself up in pride and you think you're all that and a bag of chips and a Diet Sprite with no calories. Let me tell you something. God has a higher identity for you than you have for yourself. God wants to shape you and I in the image. We are made in the image of God, and he calls you a son and daughter of the King. You are a royal priesthood spiritually. We are a cedar in Christ. When I'm planted in Jesus, I become strong like a cedar. I now take on the nature of strength like a cedar in Christ. Not my strength, his strength. Not my ability, his ability. Not because of me, it's because of him. Because God can do something in our life that we can't do for ourselves. And you and I can be like a cedar. Furthermore, cedars have this strength, and as I mentioned, this aroma. It's good to smell good, isn't it? If someone smells bad next to you, look at me right now. Don't look at them, just look at me in Jesus' name. That'd be weird. But it's good to have a good aroma. It's good to have a good cologne. Come on, right? All the ladies said amen, all right? They want their man to smell nice. I'm not talking about the aroma of a cedar naturally. When you and I serve Christ, you and I have an aroma in him that comes from our life. Paul, the apostle, talks about the aroma we have. You and I can have an aroma in our faith, and God is coming through us, and people sense something different about you and me. You and I can move in the power of the Holy Spirit and be like a cedar for Jesus. I want to be a cedar. How about you? I want to be strong in my life. Now, strong doesn't mean that I'm never weak. Strong doesn't mean that I never have a problem. Strong doesn't mean that I don't need accountability. No, it means that I'm strong in God. And just like the palm tree, the cedar can absorb poison and absorb all the junk that's coming at it and turn it into fuel and then oxygen through it. And God wants to do that with you and I. God wants you and I to be strong. Now, here's what's amazing. In the Bible, in the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom of opposites. In other words, if you want to live, you have to die. You want to receive, you have to give. You want to go up, you have to do what? Go down. So that's what Jesus, he flipped everything around. And when it comes to this, strong like a cedar, strength in the kingdom comes from humility. What the world teaches is strength comes from pride, and pride is a deception that leads to a fall, and it's one of the deadliest sins that all of us deal with, every one of us. We have to address it and be aware that you and I will not cave into pride. And pride is subtle. And the Bible says that pride, it causes God to resist us, but he gives grace to the humble. I preach this so much at our church. I talk about this so often, and I say this statement. Pride makes excuses. Humility makes adjustments. Maybe write that down. Pride makes excuses. Humility makes adjustments. So notice the devil wants you to be in pride, which is the exaltation of I, and then make excuses in our life and miss the mark. So I was going to ask all of us right now, what areas of our life are we making excuses in? And then, what area of our lives is the Holy Spirit putting his finger and saying, make an adjustment? Could be a slight adjustment. In our marriage, make an adjustment. In our parenting, make an adjustment. In our work career, make an adjustment. Personal life, whatever it is, right? You get what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us to make adjustments to have more of God. Pride will lead us to make excuses and shut us off from the presence of God. And so to be strong like a cedar, I'm planted in Jesus. When I'm planted in Jesus, I'm not going to drift into pride. I'm going to plant myself in humility. Remember what I said? And I'm going to be humble enough to let God be the center, and I'm revolving around God. I'm not going to put myself in the center because God doesn't revolve around me. I revolve around him. And I'm going to let him be the centerpiece, and from that, God's going to begin to shape my life and change me. And when I'm planted in Christ, in other words, my values, my life, my effort is based on the word, based on Christ. Over time, I'm going to take on the nature of a palm tree and of a cedar. In closing, I want to tell you a story of someone that I knew that was a palm tree and a cedar. Her name was Alma Hedgepath from Indianapolis, Indiana. My grandfather, my dad's dad, played in the NBA in the 40s. and won the world championship in 1947. After that, he had a successful career in insurance, and so my dad's family was not saved when they were kids. They were living a socialite life in the north side of Indy, and my grandfather was famous, and I remember seeing at my grandmother's, and I'm at their house when I was a kid, I remember seeing letterheads from the NBA from David Stern with his pension. I mean, it was a big deal for our family. But at that time, they weren't saved, and my grandmother had four kids and needed help in the house. And there was a lady named Alma Hedgepath who cleaned houses for her own business because she was once married, had four kids with her husband, and she had a great touch of God. She got saved. She got sold out for Jesus, and she lived for God. And her husband said to her, if you keep on serving Jesus, I'm leaving you. And she said, I'm not quitting Jesus. And he said, I quit you. And so he left her. Strike number one. Strike number two, in the 50s, she's African-American. Indianapolis is a sundown city, which means that African-American people could not be in neighborhoods when the sun went down. If they did, they were liable for violence or other atrocities. She never had a license, rode a bus everywhere she went. And so my grandmother needs help, and so she hires Alma. Alma is a great woman of God. Alma feels a burden for my family and begins to pray over my dad's clothes, praying over his bed, praying over every room in the house, asking God to move in my family. She knew we were crazy. She knew they were nuts. They needed God. And she said my dad was the worst one. She called him Kimbo. And she didn't do that for 1 month. She didn't do that for 2 years. She did it for 10 years, praying and believing God. My dad became a teenager at 16, 17 years of age. This touches me. He tells me he'd be laying in his room at night getting ready for bed, and he said he didn't even know God. He didn't even know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would come in, and he could feel the presence of God, and it would just rest over his bed and not leave, drawing him to Jesus. Because a woman chose to be a tree, praying in private every day for 10 years. My dad got saved by a preacher at a shopping mall, preaching out loud. Everyone was shopping. My grandmother got embarrassed, and my dad said, I need Jesus, and got saved. When he got saved, after that, 50 members of my family came to Jesus. It was like a revival. And my grandmother and my grandfather got saved, and he made Alma the pastor of our family for about 3 months until she helped them get to a church and get solidified. And she had a vision of my dad. She said, I see you giving bread to people darker than you all over the world. And my dad said yes to Jesus and said yes to the call of God. Now, I want you to think about something. I knew Alma. She met Summer before she passed. She never told me this, but let's just all just come with me for a minute, because she was human. There's no doubt some days on that bus, cleaning those houses, she felt tempted to hate her ex-husband. How dare you leave me? How dare you leave me with four kids? No doubt she felt that. No doubt she faced racism often and probably felt hate roll up in her heart, wanting to go off on people. And I knew this woman. She chose to be a tree in the house of her God. She was not bitter. She was not angry. This woman was amazing. I don't know how she did it. And she chose to be a daughter of the King. And when forces were trying to push her down, people trying to push her back, people doing this and that, she stood still and was planted in her faith and became a tree for all of her days for Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Today, on this day, Sunday, right now, my dad just got done preaching a few hours ago in Pakistan to over 70,000 people. He goes to Africa, Pakistan, Indonesia, Brazil, Honduras, Nicaragua, all around the world. And Alma's in heaven. Alma's in heaven. But what she saw come to pass. Right now in our church, there's 47 nationalities. People from all over the world. It's a melting pot of the world in our church. Summer never dreamed about marrying a white guy unless he was bald. Come on, somebody. And I didn't think necessarily. I wasn't against it. I just didn't think about it. And then God brought us together. And that's a calling from my life. And I think about it, and I get to be a man of God today.
I get to be a pastor. I get to be married. I get to have 4 kids. 35 people in my life have died premature death. I don't have to be up here, but I'm up here because of the goodness of God and because a woman faced being a single parent, faced being African American, faced racism, faced a struggle financially, and stood her ground and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I choose to be a tree. I choose to be a palm tree. I choose to be a cedar. And today her influence goes all over the world because somebody chose God over the poison. She chose Jesus over poison, and she got the last word. She won the race. She's received her glory, and I'm going to see her one day. And if God can use her, God can use you. You can be a tree. You can overcome. You can be strong. You can be a palm tree. You can be a cedar. You can break the back of the devil and see God use you and touch future generations. Come on, if you believe it, give God praise today. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Addiction has to break in Jesus' name. Divorce has to stop in Jesus' name. Racism has to stop in Jesus' name. When Jesus shows up, he changes your life and makes you more than you could ever be by yourself. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet if you don't mind. I want to pray for you. Say, man, you're getting excited. I am, because I shouldn't be here today, and you shouldn't either. And someone else prayed for you. Someone else asked God to save you, and that's why you're here in the house of God, because of the grace of God and the goodness of God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, give him one more praise. I feel it today. You know, when she passed away, she went to a small church her whole life. When she passed away, they took one of the biggest churches in Indianapolis for her funeral, and it was packed. And this woman that lived in the same house that was a good neighborhood at one time became a rough neighborhood before she passed, that worked her tail off to provide for her kids because her husband left because of her faith, impacted thousands. And today I'm preaching about her, and you don't know her. You'll meet her one day when you go to heaven. But she impacted thousands by being a tree. And if you will be a tree, God will bless you both now, and he'll bless generations after you. Put your hand on your heart if you don't mind. And follow me in this prayer and say, Jesus, I choose to be planted. I choose you. The poison against my life, I give it to you. Turn it around for your glory. Use it for my good. I choose to be a palm tree. I choose to be a cedar. I choose to be who you've called me to be. Jesus, I say yes. Use me for your glory, and use my faith to impact generations. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Three Trees Church, and the best is yet to come. Give it one big praise. God bless you.